Welcome to this episode of the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, where we explore how God is part of life, honest and real. My name is Brian, and I'll be talking to...
I'm Tyler.
Tyler, and in this episode, we'll be talking about kind of his faith journey over the last few years. So let's get to know Tyler a little bit to start. Tell me a little about yourself, school, age, etc.
Yeah, I'm a senior in high school and part of a military family, so I move around a lot, seen a lot, and been to quite a few churches.
And you've had, I guess, quite a journey in the last few years as far as your faith goes. Why don't you just start at the beginning and just kind of give us your story?
Yeah, I have. So grandparents were full-time missionaries for 4 years, and after which my grandpa was a pastor, and then my dad has mentored me a lot in the Bible and getting to know Jesus, and so has my mom. And so I've always just grown up in the church and knowing God, and I felt kind of solid in my faith, but that definitely got put to the test, and it wasn't as strong as I thought it was.
And that probably involved a girl or something, right?
It did.
Tell us about that.
So freshman year of high school, I had like my first, you know, air quotes, girlfriend, you know, like the we're gonna make it kind of relationship. That relationship ended up being about 2 years long. So all of freshman year, all of sophomore year, and then that relationship ended at the beginning of summer after sophomore year. But in this relationship, it was sexually immoral, and so through that, you know, my conscience was just screaming at me the whole time because I knew better. Both came from Christian families, so we both knew better.
Why do you think that was? Why do you think, it kind of went down that path?
It was kind of a slow, gradual thing. I think we both just had kind of struggled with lust our whole lives. I know I had. And so...
It's pretty hard not to in this society when you're that age as well. So,
yeah, you get exposed to so much just in school.
Right,
and,
yeah. And so you're... Now, what was your faith like as you were struggling with this sin issue?
During this time, I stopped praying, and my family went through a move, and we're still finding a church, so I wasn't even going to church for this whole relationship for a whole 2 years. And then about halfway through the relationship, I stopped praying altogether, too, and that's when I would say, like, we really, like, made the big mistakes, and...
And so what changed? How did it all kind of end, the relationship?
Yeah, once the relationship ended, I definitely went through sexual brokenness and was just kind of depressed and angry, and I just kind of dealt with it myself, and it just led to bitterness, and then spiritually I was just dead. I was just dead spiritually. I wasn't praying to God at all. I wasn't going to church at all. I didn't have Christian friends that I surrounded myself with, and it was just an angry, hurtful, bitter time.
And so what changed? So you're at this point, obviously something happened to change that trajectory.
Yeah, so I, instead of turning to the Lord, I just got into another relationship pretty quickly. And then my grandma passed away. And she was always a big role model in my life. And so it was kind of hard losing her. And then right after that happened, my second relationship ended, and it was at that point where I just felt so hollowed even through the whole second relationship that I started struggling with suicide. And then,
So you were at a really low point.
Very low. I think that's why when it comes to sexual sin, especially too, that's why the Bible says run from it, is because... when God says, don't do this, he's really saying, don't do this, you're going to hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think sexual sin is just the epiphany of that. And so just dealing with all this brokenness and pain, like we weren't designed to be able to handle that pain you know, of going through a breakup, really, and then definitely weren't designed to go through sexual brokenness. And so it just got to this point where I was so low, I was struggling with depression and literally having dreams where I'm killing myself in my dream. And wow. I'd say what was the changing point was, I think God just straight up interceded through friends. I have this one friend, and she got me coming back to church, and was just always when I'm struggling, and then I was slowly able to like open up to her about my struggling, and she's just like, dude, pray. It wasn't until then I started praying again, started healing, and then you know, still battled with it for a little while, and I had to tell my parents eventually, because I was just struggling so bad and not getting any sleep, and school was hard, grades were tanking. And then I went to a winter camp, and I feel like that's where, like...
Let me back up to start a question. So you said a friend of you invited you to church.
Mm-hmm.
So at that low point, what was, like, your kind of reaction when she asked you to church? It was just something to do? Or was it like, anything will help at this point? Kind of what was your...
It was definitely... It was something I already knew, right?
You knew in your head.
Like, I knew what youth group was like, I knew what church is like, and I was just so desperate. I was like, yeah, I need to go again.
Uh-huh. And then go ahead. So then she said, dude, you need to start praying.
Yeah, and there is heal in prayer, and there's power in prayer, big time. And I just had to get to this point where I was just open in my prayer, right? I wasn't trying to make it sound fancy, and I was off praying on my own, and was even like, and God already knows, right? But I still was like confessing, like, Lord, I'm struggling. There's times where I'm wanting to die in my prayers, and then you feel loved. And then at a church camp where I'm like, you know, away from my phone, away from school, and just focusing on the Lord and being surrounded by a really good group of friends who all care about me, even though like I'm just meeting them. It really helps, and it just really shows God's love and how he comes to you, and you just have to go surrender and spend time with him.
Mm-hmm. So did you have like an experience at winter camp, or is it more of like a jumping off point to just really increase your faith life?
I'd say, yeah, it's kind of like a jump start again, because I had a good prayer life, you know, before my relationship, which is also the pain, is like I knew better, not better and just right from wrong, but like better and like a better way to live where I'm happier too, and just regret and like shame of like, dude, I knew God and I turned away, and just dealing with that shame on top of all the loss.
Right.
It was really hard.
And so where are you at now? So you kind of made this turn, and tell us where you're kind of at now.
Yeah. And then, so I went on a mission trip to Mexico, and it was there where that's when I was fully healed. It was a couple months later, right?
Tell me a little, what's a mission trip? What was the actual mission?
Our mission in Mexico, we went down to Ensenada, Mexico, and we were with YWAM and Homes of Hope, kind of this little joint operation. They have a little base there with a Bible college and a missionary college there. And so we're all together in this facility, and we go out and we build homeless families a house for free.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it was really, really cool. And just seeing that, like, you just get overwhelmed coming into all these people with nothing. And Mexico is definitely a third world country. Yeah. In this area, there's whole... vast housing neighborhoods where there's no running water, mm-hmm. no electricity, and it's just it blows your mind when you see it. And just showing like how these people go from nothing, still have their faith when they have nothing, mm-hmm. and then just the reactions, like just going and doing a little bit of labor for a few days.
And you do more than labor, though, I understand.
Mm-hmm. And then they wanted one of us to, they wanted all of us to share testimonies, right? That was like one of the goals, and like how we're going to grow is being able to share our testimony and connect with God, and then, share God with the people there. And so they had all of us practice testimonies, I gave testimony at a church along with a couple other students, and then they wanted one of us to preach, and I just kind of felt this pull on my heart to go preach, and then...
That's a big jump from like suicidal, you know, I want to end my
life. Okay, yeah, sorry. Here, let me have some timelines.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a big jump. I just like, that's cool.
Oh, and there was.
I think. Yeah.
There really was a big jump. And like I said, I already knew God. So it was, I think, for me, maybe sometimes a little bit easier than others to be able to restart my relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord again. But yeah, so I was struggling with suicide January through February last year, and then the Mexico missions trip was in mid-June of that following summer. So January, February, 2023.
Yeah, I think that's really, think about it, like the power of what God does, right?
Yeah.
He takes a suicidal, depressed kid, and 5 months later, he's given testimony and preaching via testimony. So who did you kind of preach to, what'd you talk about?
About? And just to, you know, touch on what you said is, God will take something bad and he always uses it for good. His purpose is always to use everything for mm-hmm. good. And that's just point in case example of that word for word that's in the Bible. And, I went to a men's drug rehab center and they had about 20, I guess you'd call them inmates, because none of them are really there voluntarily. Mm-hmm. They're all people whose like families put them in there, or they get arrested and sent into here because they haven't like done any hard crimes. Some of them, though, I did recognize some of their tattoos, like neck tattoos, as potential cartel tattoos. But
it's Mexico,
yeah. And I started my sermon. This is the first time in my life that I've done this, but the Bible says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life. You believe he came and died for your sins and that he rose 3 days afterwards. And so that's how I started my sermon, is I believe that Jesus is the Lord of my life. He came and died for my sins and then he rose again 3 days later. And I believe that he's going to come back. And so... And that's when I just felt like the Lord was speaking through me after that. And that's it's such a crazy, like, goosebumps, hair sticking up feeling. And I'm speaking through a translator, too. So, like, I say that, and then I have to pause, and then she says it. And, like, you know, you hear, like, Jesus Cristo, and, like, that's how they say Jesus Christ in their tongue. And, like, you just get chills when you hear it. It's crazy. And then... I shared this testimony. I put some more scripture in there. I emphasized John 10:10. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came so that you would have life and have it abundantly. And this is Jesus' words when he's getting questioned by the Pharisees. And I think my testimony helped share with these guys, like, especially us as missionaries coming to go do like all this like free charity, right? Like they get this, like they picture us perfect and like angels. And I think like just sharing like the sin and the struggles and pain in my life knows like it's nothing like we do that made us holy. It's Jesus dying on the cross that saves us, and that sacrifice goes for them too, and that he did that for them. And, my nose. we ended up baptizing seven of them there.
That's so cool.
After that. And it was really, really awesome to be a part of that. And then after that day, I think it's day 5 in country, I'd already been like healing and feeling better at that point, and mm-hmm. I wasn't struggling with suicide at that point, but I feel like at that point, like the depression and hurt from it just fully went away at that point.
Wow, that's quite a journey for a young man.
Yeah.
And it really shows the power of God, you know, that's just so cool. So our time's almost up here. What would you say to someone who's dealing with similar sexual sin or let's face it, it's sexual stuff, we're surrounded by that in our culture, and sex feels good. And it can be a real struggle. And so what would you say to that person and or the person who's just overwhelmed and they're thinking and they're having suicidal thoughts. And based on your experience, what would your advice be to them?
So I'll start with, you know, talking about the sexual sin, and sexual sin could be anything from pornography and not just adultery, right? One, people think sexual sin, I think a lot of people think adultery, which is, for those of you who don't know, adultery is cheating on your spouse, essentially, or having an affair with someone else's spouse. But sexual sin is any time you do anything sexual with anyone but your spouse, even if you're single, because we're designed to only have it within the confines of marriage. But yeah, it can be anything from porn, sexual interactions with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and so anything in that realm. And the Bible says run. Flee from sexual immorality, because all the other sins are outside of the body, but sexual immorality is the inside of the body. And I think that's part of where, like, that internal just hurt and pain really comes from. Mm-hmm. And we're designed to have that desire, right? But we're designed to have it in a very specific way, and that's within the confines of marriage and with your spouse until death does you apart.
And how would you said to run from it. What does run from that look like?
I'd say if you're in a sexual relationship or in one that's like sprinting that way or looking like it's going to head that way, you probably need to end it, in all honesty. I don't know what it looks like how you need to end it. But I'd recommend just kind of breaking away from that relationship.
So basically your advice is, this is not a little thing, and this can lead down.
It's a big
thing. Needs to be dealt with, whether it's ending a relationship or I'm thinking, having some accountability or talking to somebody about it and okay, I'm going down this path. We need to do something about that, and doing that in community. What about, before we go, last thing, advice for somebody who's like, there's so many people depressed and suicidal. What would be, you can't solve that in one piece of advice, but what would be your take home for them?
If you're not in somewhere where you have a strong prayer life yet, you have to tell people you're struggling. Is the big thing. Because we're not meant to feel that broken to begin with, and so we can't handle it by ourselves. And that's why, statistically, most people who do end up committing suicide, they never tell anybody that they're struggling. So tell people you're struggling. It's really hard. It's really hard telling my mom. It absolutely devastated her, and I understand that it's hard.
But, yeah, as a parent, that would be really hard to hear. Yeah. But man, I'd be so thankful that
she really was.
Like, I bet she had no idea.
No,
like, she knew maybe something was going on.
They knew I was hurting and upset about
but
the breakup
suicide
and losing
is,
grandma.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah, that's like a whole. No. And it's a really dark level of depression, and honestly, I think just a demonic attack against you. And
right. So leaning into community and prayer, if you're a believer, leaning into God.
Leaning into God. And that's where I experienced the most healing, but I really believe God interceded through friends because, again, like, I knew better, but I still wasn't choosing to give it to God and to run to God. And so have a community to lean on. And if you're a youth, tell your parents. I know it's really, really hard, and it devastated my mom, and it'll probably devastate all of your parents or parent. And
yeah, as a parent, I would say I would be shocked. But then I would be thankful. It's like, okay, let's do what we can to get you help.
And that's definitely how it was. And then you just got to think, like, rather have that horrible conversation or rather have the pain of losing your kid, which a lot of people think is,
it's
very appropriately argued as the worst thing that could happen to anybody is losing your kid.
And if anybody is struggling out there, to remind you, you can always text or just call 988, the suicide hotline. 24 hours a day, somebody is there, and they will get you help immediately. Our time is up here, and we hope you found this conversation helpful. Walking through Tyler and his faith journey, it's quite a journey, that's for sure. And don't forget to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening to the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, Honest Real Life. This is Brian.
And this is Tyler.
Until next time.
See ya.